Amen.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding. And now your host, Charles Gross.
Well, hello everyone. Welcome to the Armor of God. We're delighted to have you spend some time with us today. You are most likely a religious person, otherwise you wouldn't be viewing our telecast today. If you're not very religious, well, hello anyway. We're glad to have you listening and viewing our program. Much of what we talk about frequently centers on the Scripture. Now, sometimes we get on to secular subjects, and there is a place and time for that, because we are all living in a world that is tremendously influenced by the events, the politics, and all the other things going on, the wars and so forth around us. But you know, there's security found in understanding and knowing what the Bible is really all about. What is the message of the Scripture? And of course, one of the greatest hopes for mankind, at least for me as a religious person, is for Jesus Christ to know that Jesus Christ is in fact going to come back to this earth when the time is right. I'd like to see him come back tomorrow. How about you? I'd like to see him come back tomorrow so that my family would be spared what seems to be an inevitable, mudslide, downslide into the filth that's emerging day by day in popular society and in our culture. However, that is not the subject of my message to you today. What I'd like to deal with you today and discuss with you about is the real reasons why Jesus Christ came to this earth in the very first place. Now, Jesus came to the earth, well, he's visited in an angelic sense as a son of God, the Old Testament, the one in Jesus Christ, the New Testament, but he was really, in fact, the God of the Old Testament. He visited the earth on several occasions. But it wasn't until he divested himself of his divinity and became a physical human being that he was born through the Virgin Mary and he came and lived on this earth. And we have an example of that in the gospel account. Why is it that Jesus came to the earth then? What are the real reasons? Some people believe, religious leaders teach, that Jesus came to save the world. He did not come to save the world, keyword, then. I think it was a little bit of a surprise to the disciples because his disciples truly thought that he was going to bring with him or bring about a new kingdom. And they expected maybe even a military force because we remember some of the actions of his disciples, particularly Peter, who was known to carry a sword. Well, Jesus showed us that in fact was not the reason why he came to the earth then. So I want to deal with that question because I think it's plagued us. And it leads to confusion about the message and purpose of our Savior, Jesus Christ. And today I want you to consider the real reasons then why he came to the earth. And then I want you to consider how that impacts your life. Because there's a rhyme and reason to the message of Scripture that centers around the life and testimony of Jesus Christ. So let's come back to ask this question. Did Jesus come to save the world then? To take a look at this, I want us to begin over in the book of Matthew and to read a couple verses here. Matthew chapter 10, in particular, verse 34. Let's notice what it says. Ironically, you know, human nature is really something, isn't it? When Jesus says, don't do something, we do it. And when he says to do it, we tend to resist it. Here Jesus says, think not that I am come to send peace on earth. So what does everybody naturally think? They think that Jesus came to send peace on earth. If any of you are familiar with the Christmas celebration, and I suggest or suspect that many of you are, what is one of the great slogans at Christmas time? Peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. Well, yes, but why don't we talk about peace in January, February, March, April, May, and June, July, August? Why is it only in December? There's this idea of Jesus and peace on earth has an assimilation here of a principle and message, isn't there? But Jesus says here, don't think that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. And actually the word sword, what does that mean? It symbolizes a type of dying, a way in which you would die, a type of destruction, a persecution. That's what Jesus is talking about, and there's been persecution of Christians from the very moment he began to teach the truth, hasn't there? He goes on to say, "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." And it says, "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household." Once you latch on to the gospel truth, to the teachings of Jesus Christ, it is not unusual that those people clouded in uncertainty and confusion, in fact, will look at you suspiciously and might even begin to persecute you. I've talked with several people, and what they do, they'll try berating you, making fun of you, deriding you, whatever they can do because they don't like what you believe. And yet, if you really do believe the truth, you should not be surprised that those in your family or those in your household don't understand. So, did Jesus come to save the world? We want to entertain that question as we go through and some other ones as well. But as we proceed along, I'd like to invite all of you to request the two items that we have available today. We have a booklet as well as a tape offer, and you can request both of them if you would like. Just look at the numbers there on your screen. I'll read them to you. First of all, the telephone number, which is toll-free, is 1-888-578-8791. And you can reach us at our website at www.cgi.org. And please feel free to write questions, forward along your comments, or to ask for counseling. Whatever it is that you would like to talk to us about, you can email us there at the website or reach us at our home address there in Tyler, Texas. But again, please use those numbers and the means to reach us at your will. Now, I want to come back to talk about this subject of, did Jesus come to save the world then? If we read on a little bit farther here in chapter 13, "I came to learn and understand years ago that not everybody would grasp the truth. That not everybody, if I said this, if I said the subject of the immortal soul is not in the scripture, that some people would just say, 'Oh, what are you talking about? Sure it is.' And I would say, 'Well, no, it isn't. It's not in there.' 'Well, you know, sure it is.' I could tell you some other things they said, especially in my younger days when they were a little bit freer with their language. But people didn't understand, and when people don't understand, they tend to attack. See? But I read here in Matthew chapter 13, I'd like to share a few verses with you. In Matthew chapter 13, beginning in verse 11, it says here, speaking of the disciples, he said to them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Honestly, I don't understand why some people don't grasp the simplest of truths. I know when I read through the scripture, the Bible says you're not supposed to call any man reverend. Have you read that? It's in the scripture. You're not supposed to call any man reverend. People come up to me as a minister and say, "Well, Reverend Gross." I ask them, "Don't call me reverend, because that's what the Bible says shouldn't be done. We shouldn't be calling each other reverend." Now, that doesn't mean that everybody who goes by the name reverend isn't a good person. But I ask you, if that's what the Bible says, then why on this earth don't they stop it? If you want to obey the scripture, obey it. Don't waltz around it. Don't mollycoddle it. Don't make excuses for it. It says we're not supposed to call anyone reverend, but we've got lots of reverends running around there, and holy people. I've never met a holy person. I've only met sinners, and I am one of those number. So that's an aside issue, but I've always, just the simplest of little things, wonder why people can't grasp that. Well, the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are known to a few people. Hopefully you are one of them. But it says in verse 12, "For whosoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that which he has. Therefore speak I to them in parables." Now, parables are interesting stories. They're an analogy. It's a comparison. It's using something that people are familiar with to illustrate a lesson, like a proverb, for example. Jesus used a lot of agricultural comparisons because it was an agricultural society. It says here in verse 14, let me come back to read verse 13, "Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they don't hear, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, 'By hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears for they hear. Now, let's think about that for just a moment. You mean to tell me that Christ did not come so that everyone would understand? The answer to that is no, he didn't come for that reason. He didn't come to save the world then. Try to, just for a moment, think about the enormous responsibility to be the Son of God and to travel those dusty streets of Galilee or Jericho or Bethlehem or Jerusalem, the crowds of people, the needy, the hungry, the diseased, all around you. That's the way it is today. It's that way in America. It's that way over in Israel, in Palestine. You mean to tell me that Jesus passed people by and didn't heal them? The answer to that is yes, that's correct. It was not his purpose nor his destiny to heal everyone at that time. Now, we know because of the examples of Scripture that he healed some, but he couldn't heal everyone. That's not why he came to the earth. He did not come to the earth to change it then, except he set in motion something that would ultimately bring about the change that we're all looking for. Now, what else can we learn? Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15, and I want you to see over in verse 23. Something to me that's a little bit startling. I was talking to some of my colleagues about this. It's been there all along, and I just was reading through it, and it jumped off the page at me. But this involves Jesus and his witness and his testifying, his preaching the good news, why he was brought to this earth, why he came to the earth, what was the real reason. It says Jesus went in verse 21, thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, and my daughter is grievously vexed with a demon." Now, if you don't think that's a serious problem, you are mistaken. This mother, very concerned about her daughter, who was emotionally disturbed, spiritually disturbed, had a demon, for real. Not because of medication, she was demon-possessed. Notice, though, he answered her not a word. Can I repeat that to you? He answered her not a word. You know, just standing on its own, you think, well, what? You mean a woman came to Jesus, had a tremendous need, her daughter was vexed with a demon, and he just said, no, I'm not going to say anything. Well, that's pretty much what it says, isn't it? Why? Because he did not come, you'll see his explanation here, to at that time to preach and or save the Gentiles. That would be done later on. It says here in verse 24, let's read the rest of the story. It says, but he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. That's his purpose. That was his destiny. That's why he came to the earth. He started there to preach to the house of Israel. But notice in verse 25, great encouragement taken by her example. She came and worshipped him. That's a key word, worshipped him. Even though she didn't get what she wanted initially, she kept persisting. She kept believing. She said, Lord, help me. Those are two dynamic words. Maybe all of us can use them occasionally. Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. I'll tell you something. Jesus would be in politically hot trouble in our society today. Can you imagine calling someone, a race of people, dogs? I mean, that's what he says, to cast it to the dogs. He's using an analogy that these people were not Israelites. I guess the old ACLU would be on their haunches over that one, wouldn't they? And yet this is Jesus illustrating a point that we don't want to miss. She said, well, truth, O Lord. She didn't take offense. She still wanted to get what was coming to her. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs, even referring to herself in the analogy, which fall from their master's table. And then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Be it unto you even as you wish. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Tremendous example then of dedication, don't you think? But what I wanted you to see there is that Jesus did not come to heal everybody, nor to cast demons out of everyone. Not then. No, Jesus came for another reason. You need to request that booklet we're talking about, the real reasons why Jesus came to the earth. There are several to find out what they are. I would like to touch on one other thing that Jesus did not come to do, which is a prevalent belief in our society today. Jesus did not come to do away with the law. There are some who believe that the law is Jewish, that it's old. It's back in the Old Testament the Old Covenant. Well, we can just, let's just cut out that part of the Bible. Let's just cut all that out, because we're not under any of that. It has no application to us at all, but we're only under the New Covenant, if you will. Now, where in the world did that thought and idea come from? That let's chunk away the laws of God. Where did that come from? Well, we've heard it. We've been taught it. People have misunderstood what the teachings of Jesus are. Jesus did not, I'm dealing with reasons he did not come, he did not come to do away with the law, even though you may have been taught that. Let me read to you a verse here out of Luke chapter 6, over in Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. Jesus said, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and you do not the things which I say?" Happened then, it happens today. People call out to the Lord, but they know about Jesus. They claim to have Jesus, but they don't obey what Jesus said. There's a big difference, isn't there? We're called to obey what Jesus said. Now, Christ did not come to do away with the law. We touched on that a little bit earlier, but I would come back now and revisit this in Matthew chapter 5. Once again, it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, "Do not think that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I have not come to destroy, but to fulfill," fill up to the full. So people read this and think, well, that's why Jesus came. He came to destroy the law, that the law has no more application to our lives. It has no hold on us. And yet, if we read right on through here, we find out that in fact it does, that the law of God has an even greater influence in our lives, because now it is not enough to just physically not shoot someone. It is not just enough physically not to commit adultery. Now you are not to think ill of your neighbor. You're not to be hateful. You are not to lust after your neighbor's wife. You're not to lust after whatever it is your neighbor has. So Christ actually elevated the requirements of commandment keeping by extending it into a greater plane than just the physical, because isn't that what he talks about in verse 21? He says, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment." Then it says here in verse 23 and 24, these other applications of how the spirit of the law applies to us. He goes on down in verse 28 to say, verse 27, "You have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever shall look on a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart." So is there any way we can legitimately believe that Christ nailed the law to the stake or to the cross, that up there he was and the law was nailed up there with him? Surely you don't believe that. Because if you do, I need to challenge you where it came from. Now, you'll probably say, well, it came out of the book of Romans. Well, let me tell you a couple places here in the book of Romans, if you'll turn over there with me. Romans chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading in verse 12. Romans 7 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "Wherefore the law is holy, it is a commandment that is holy, just, and good." Well, it wasn't done away with, was it? It says, the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. "For we know that the law," in verse 14, "is spiritual, but I am carnal, and I am sold under sin." And really, without the law, I wouldn't even know what was wrong. But because I do have the law, and I have the Ten Commandments, I'm able to discern that I shouldn't disobey God on those 10 aspects, those 10 rules, those 10 regulations, not suggestions, those actual commandments back in the Old Testament that we find repeated in the New Testament. All right, let's get down to the nitty-gritty of the 10 commandments, what most people don't like about them. If you're married, you probably subscribe to the 7th commandment. If you have a nice home or if you have possessions, you probably subscribe to the 10th. If you have parents, and you are a parent, you probably like the 5th commandment. Which one do we struggle with? Well, I'll tell you, we struggle with the 4th commandment. That's where there's a resistance. We come up against that, and people say, "Well, yeah, I remember in the state of Texas years ago, where I used to drive into West Texas on Sundays, and they had what were called blue laws, I think is what they were called, blue laws. And on Sunday, because they thought that was the seventh day of the week, which it isn't, they wouldn't buy and sell. So they had everything covered up with blue canopy or some kind of a tarp, so you couldn't buy and sell those items on Sunday. Well, I got news for you. I've not been in any store anywhere in West Texas in a long, long, long time that wasn't open on Sunday. So they just disregarded that. So just shop and buy, keep any day the way you want to. Doesn't make any difference. Well, it does make a difference, doesn't it? Sure it does. So that's the one we wrestle against. That is the Ten Commandments. And I'd like you to see a couple of things in the Bible that reassures us about our commitment to all ten of them. This comes in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Over in verse 3, I want to read a couple of verses here, verses 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that says, I know him, and keeps not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. That's fairly strong language, don't you think? I think so, but it's to the point. 1 John chapter 5, and now we're going to read verses 2 and 3. It says here, as 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 and 3. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments, they are not grievous. Now, the time we have remaining, I've talked about those things that were not reasons why Jesus came to this earth. I've given you two. I'd like to give you a third. The third is that Jesus Christ did not come to this earth to establish a new religion. That's right. He did not come to some other abrogate or do away with all the old Jewish laws and principles and even some of their traditions. Some of them now were inappropriate and they were burdensome, especially the ones that dealt with the Sabbath day. But I want you to read here in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1. So let's turn back there for a little bit of a lengthy reading. John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 14. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. If you're not familiar with what that means, let me explain it to you. It means that the Jesus Christ that we understand in the New Testament was in fact the one that was working with the patriarchs in the Old Testament. Whose finger wrote the Ten Commandments? It was the Jesus Christ that we know in the New Testament. The same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness does not comprehend it. Then it goes on to talk about Jesus Christ being the light. Now I want you to see what it says here. Verse 12, but as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So why did Jesus come? Well, he did not come to start a new religion. The old one said had been abused, truthfully, some of it, and Jesus straightened that out, if you just read the scripture. But he did not ever do away with the Ten Commandments. If you had time, you wanted to study, just take your Bible out and go through the Gospels, if you will, and look up the word commandment every time you see it, and see if there's any occasion when it's ever abrogated or done away with. Some another no longer applies, because the commandments were just as much applicable to life then as they are today. Do you remember this verse? It's actually repeated two places. Jesus said that it is possible for us to worship him, to praise him, to laud him, to sing songs to him, to get all excited in his name, and that it's all in vain. You know, it's possible to believe on him, and yet you don't please him. It's possible to claim the name of Jesus. Well, what does that mean if you don't keep God's commandments? It's absolutely imperative that we must do that. We can, in fact, worship him all in vain for no good purpose at all. It is not enough to believe on him. It is more important that we must obey him. Well, I've touched on three reasons here that Jesus did not come. I've talked to you about that Jesus did not come to save the world then. I mentioned to you that Christ did not come to do away with the law. And we've explored this truth that Jesus did not come to establish a new religion. So this begs to be answered. Why did Jesus come to this earth? It's a good question. You need to write for the booklet that we mentioned to you because there are several answers given in there that you'll enjoy reading. Jesus came for a number of reasons, one of which involves your very destiny, how you live your life, and what your reward is. Read it. You'll be satisfied by it. It's really challenging, and it's really mind-expanding to understand what God in heaven has in mind for you. So let's not be deceived by what we've grown up believing unless what we've been taught was the truth. If you want to know why Jesus came to this earth, read your scripture, read the material, and obey God's commandments. We'll be with you again right after these messages.
You know, on today's program, Charles brought up some things that probably got your attention, at least in the three areas that he discussed, and that was that Jesus Christ did not come to save the world, that he did not come to do away with the law, and that he did not come to this earth to establish his religion. Now, I'm sure that got your attention, and frankly, there are a lot of things in your Bible that if we really would take the time, my friends, to read our Bibles and get acquainted with the content of the life of Jesus Christ, we would find that tradition has often blinded many of us to the truths of what Jesus Christ really is and why he really came to this earth. And there were things that Charles didn't even bring up. How about the incident? You know the story about Jesus in Matthew 23 there, where he calls the religious leaders of his day, respected religious leaders of his day, vipers, hypocrites, and liars of all things. Jesus Christ, little sweet Jesus, doing this thing. And how about that story that Charles brought up that today, frankly, if the ACLU would got a hold of that, they'd probably crucify Christ all over again. Can you imagine the Lord and Savior telling a Canaanite woman, a minority, that she was not important enough to even address upon her request and to furthermore indirectly call her a dog? My friends, there are so many things that you need to look into regarding your Bible and the real mission that Jesus Christ had in coming to this earth. Let us help you to understand that. Call right now, 888-578-8791. Get these two pieces of literature we're offering, guaranteed to really get your attention. Things to do while waiting for Jesus to return, and secondly, the real reasons why Jesus Christ came to this earth. As I said, hit us on our website as well at www.cgi.org. Friends, this is Bill Watson, always reminding you, as we often do on this program, to keep on that whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand in that evil day.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by the Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at Post Office Box 2525, Tyler, Texas 75710. Call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791 or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at cgi.org or email us at armorofgod@cgi.org.
This program is sponsored by the Church of God International and supported by